A reading from Ruth. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight on the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning." No sooner had Boaz gone up to the gate and sat down there than the next of kin, of whom Boaz had spoken, came passing by. So Boaz said, "Come over, friend, and sit down here." And he went over and sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. He then said to the next of kin, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our kinsman, Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me so that I may know, for there is no one prior to you to redeem it, and I come after you." So he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, you are also acquiring Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead man, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance." At this, the next of kin said, "I cannot redeem it for myself without damaging my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of the life and nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This story of Ruth and Naomi began in famine with nothing. They were in the land of Moab. They weren't related to each other by blood. One was a foreigner. Both were widows, one an orphan. They had nothing at the beginning of the story. It just said that they were clinging to one another. And that back in Bethlehem, the house of bread, It was the beginning of the barley season, a glimmer of a meal in their future. And so when they got there, Ruth gleaned. She worked hard in fields, not expecting food or water or rest, having to carry everything she could gather all on her own, trying not to get in the way of workers and reapers, trying not to outlast her welcome in a particular field, until she met Boaz, who made it a little bit easier for her to do that hard work, so that she felt a little less alone. And so they went from famine to entitlements to charity. And then in our story today, Ruth comes to Boaz with a transaction in mind. The threshing floor is not where single women hang out. It is men's work at the end of the harvest time, where there is eating and drinking and passing out after the counting and collecting of barley. But her mother-in-law has suggested that the way she gets noticed as more than a gleaner, as somebody who is looking to make a way for herself, is to go to Boaz after he passes out at night and to lie down next to him and offer herself. And when he wakes up in the middle of the night and realizes it is her, he does not receive that transaction. In the most gentle way, he seems to say, I know that this is probably the only future you can imagine for yourself, that all of your power as an orphan and a widow and a foreigner comes from the association with men. But maybe God's dream for you is bigger than that. Maybe this is not your best option. So stay here until right before the sun comes up, and then go home, go back to Naomi, and he sends her with a bunch of barley once again, and a promise. He says, there is somebody who has a right to claim you before I do. And if he doesn't claim you, I promise that I will. But let's do this in good order and make a way where you couldn't see a way earlier this evening. So he asks her to wait, to be patient, to be vulnerable while they adapt the plan apart and together. And then the story that began so alone, so far away, two women just clinging to each other with nothing, comes to the city gate. A story that began alone ends in community. Because the next day, Boaz is gathering witnesses and elders together. He's going to do this once, and he wants to do it right. He asks the person who has the next opportunity for Ruth if he wants in, if he wants to claim her and her land and her mother-in-law. And he does for a second, but as we heard, that doesn't last. Because this kinsman can only imagine a zero-sum future, where if I take all of this on, then what I already have is bound to suffer. There's no way that they can have a positive and mutual effect on each other. I need to care for my own and what I already have. I pass. I wouldn't want to do any damage or take on any more operational loss or liability with this opportunity. And with his zero-sum decision, Boaz gets the opportunity to make a different one, a kingdom decision, a kingdom decision. Here's the thing about Boaz. He has his own family tree story that connects down to Jesus. He comes from Tamar, one of the other women in the line of Jesus, who made a way for herself when it looked like she was at the end. When her first and second and third husbands passed away and she thought, I'm never going to get married again. I'm never going to be able to have a son. This is it. But there is a story about how she made a way, how she took matters into her own hands, how she worked the law for the sake of love and life and liberation. And this is the blood that Boaz has running through his veins. He has wily and strong and crafty and creative ancestors of his own. And so, of course, he comes to the gates, to the town, ready to make kingdom decisions. We hear in the story today that Ruth will have a baby, and that baby will be King David's grandfather. And we also know that these fields where Ruth and Boaz met, are right outside the city of Bethlehem, close enough that you can see the city in the distance. They are the same fields where generations and generations later, angels will come and tell shepherds late at night that Jesus has been born. There's something to this geography and to this lineage. Being gathered from the outside in, the margins being centered, and people being set free from zero-sum politics. That it's either this or this. A giant compromise that makes everybody smaller. This field, this family tree, is different. And it's reminding us this morning that we are too. We come here to practice on Sundays to remember the blood and the spirituality that runs through our veins and our breath, that there is enough for everyone to have enough, that God is still at work gathering in from the margins and centering those we forget to center. God is still showing us ways to make kingdom decisions instead of zero-sum decisions, so that the world can be blessed by a resurrection that lives. There's something sacred about going beyond the status quo, and we get to remember that this morning. We get to practice recognizing systems and false choices for what they are. And we get to embody God's dream of something more here and now, not just later on in the afterlife. So when you're practicing resurrection today, receive the invitation to stay human, to love the world without having to save the world. Love the world. That's the call. Hold all that you have lightly and share it well, trusting that there is enough for your next meal. You have been built and fashioned together by the God who knows exactly what you need and is still at work saving the world. You get to pay attention and be all in to this good news, that everything that made you weary this week, every way you thought there wasn't enough, has been put to death. It is the worst thing, but it is not the last thing, because you have been gifted the faith and power to notice another way. And when you forget to notice it, a communion of saints to help you remember how to notice it. To be about the yes and the right now that changes everything and will keep changing everything for generations still to come. So during this next song, I invite you, as you're able, to bring your offerings forward and place them in the basket. Hold what you have lightly and share it in the spirit of kingdom work, remembering that there is enough and you are all in. And so is this God who fashions us for plenty. Amen.